If you're able, please remain standing for our scripture lessons. Our Old Testament lesson is found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 11 through 16, which can be found in your pew Bibles or on the screen before you. This is also the basis for this morning's message. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel and the ravines and all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountain of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And the epistle lesson is found in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. Verses 21 through 25. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And lastly, our gospel lesson is found in the book of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Here ends our scripture lessons. For our confession of faith, we'll be using the Nicene Creed, which can be found on the screen before you or in the hymnals on page 105. Let us confess our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in a Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and a life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every present heart be acceptable to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we live in a time where the amount of distrust and political unrest in our country is probably greater than I've ever remembered. Now, I'm in my 40s, mid-40s, right? So I'm not that old, and maybe some of you that are a little older than me can remember a time in our country where the political unrest and what's going on inside of our country was worse. But, you know, honestly, I can't really think of a time in my life where it's been worse. Hillary Clinton seems to have clearly violated our country's laws by using a private email server to transmit top secret information. And she's currently under investigation, and it's possible that she's going to be indicted. In fact, some have speculated that she has very clearly broken our nation's laws, and yet she claims to be doing nothing wrong, and she's the front runner for the Democratic nomination for president. And then you have Bernie Sanders, who is an avowed socialist, who's actually winning a huge amount of support from politically liberal-minded people. Why? Because they're fed up with the Democratic Party and the people that are putting in there, and people like Hillary Clinton, who seem to have clearly lied. And then you have Donald Trump on the other side of the spectrum, self-made millionaire, who most consider to have a caustic personality and very little political experience. And yet he is the front runner on the Republican ticket, in large part because people are fed up with the establishment, both the Democrats and the Republicans. It seems like we don't trust our political leaders. You know, a Gallup poll taken in the beginning of March of this year finds that only 13% of the population are satisfied with the way that our Congress is doing their job. Could you imagine this? If you were pulled into your boss's office and said, we've done a job performance evaluation for you. On a scale of 0 to 100%, you are doing a 13% job. How many of us would still have a job there, right? Not many, if any of us. And yet our Congress is continually disappointing us. Our elected leaders seem to be continually disappointing us. And when you look back at the role that the church in America is playing, you sometimes scratch your head and say, where is the church? What has happened to the church? There's an in-depth study done by the Evangelical Covenant Church that began collecting data in the 1980s. And this was from all basically Protestant Orthodox churches. And they found that less than 20% of Americans regularly attended church. Less than 20% of Americans attend church. And there's another study conducted in 2002 by a popular Christian researcher and author, Thomas Rainier, who said that only 6% of churches are growing. What does that say? People have stopped trusting the churches. They stopped going to church. And people have clearly stopped trusting the politicians. And if we can be honest, I think a lot of us are very uncomfortable with the future election, no matter which way you lean in the political spectrum. There doesn't seem to be a lot of clarity. And in a lot of ways, there doesn't seem to be a lot of hope. And to top it off, many churches have failed to effectively preach and to teach and to live out the pure gospel message of Jesus Christ. Many in church leadership have failed to lead by example. You know, the internet is filled with examples of sermons that you can just simply download, or sermon outlines. You don't even have to really do any of the work. There's a lot of preachers out there that all they do is maybe look at the scriptures a little bit and just start talking. Or maybe they'll just download something from the internet and share that with their congregations. You know, the craziest thing about all of this is none of this is new. None of this is new. As bad as things are with the church in America today, and as bad as things are with the political unrest in our country, whatever is old, really, is new. And whatever is new is old. Peter Allen co-wrote a song way back in 1974, and he titled it, Everything Old is New Again. Maybe some of you are going to date yourself and maybe remember that song. The concept is true. And if you want to go a little bit further back in history, there's a guy named Solomon who happened to be a really wise king. And he wrote this about 930 years before Jesus Christ walked on this earth. And it's recorded in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 9. And he said, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. The truth of the matter is, As bad as things are today, right now, with our political unrest and what's going on in the church, is that, that's not new. It doesn't surprise God. In fact, God's saying, oh boy, here we go again, right? The political and religious leadership of our countries always seems to eventually fail the people that they are called to help. That was true back in Solomon's day, and it's true in our day as well. And it was true back when Ezekiel was out walking on the earth. And in chapter 34 of Ezekiel, we have a picture of the disgust that God has over the political and the religious leadership of the Jews. And as God sometimes does, he inspired the Bible to be written using a lot of metaphors to explain how he's feeling. And he refers to his people as sheep, and refers to the political and religious leaders as the shepherds. And this is God telling the people, his followers, how he was feeling and what was going on. Listen as I read to you the state of the Jewish nation. And remember, the sheep are the people, and the shepherds are the religious and the political leaders. And this is God saying this. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds and clothe yourselves with the wool and slaughter the choice animals. But you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. This speaks of a ruling class of people that were out of touch with the people they were called to lead. These people were called to serve, but instead of serving, they just wanted to be served themselves. They didn't care about the people. And let's be honest, how many of us really believe a lot of our political leaders care for us? I mean, there's always exceptions, and don't get me wrong, but how many of them really care about you or about Tioga? And if I could get a little personal for me, how many pastors really care for the people they've been called to serve as well? It wasn't any different in Ezekiel's day. The people hadn't cared to serve. They hadn't ruled well. They've allowed the people that they've been called to serve and protect to become scattered and devoured like food for wild animals. And this sounds an awful lot like where we are today. There's a lot of distrust. There's a lot of people that are full of angst over what's going on. And as a whole, the religious and the political leaders in our country have abandoned truth and righteousness and justice for personal gain, comfort, and power. So the big question is, what has this got to do with us? What did God do with the Jews? What does God do? Does he wring his hands and be fretful and get worried and say, oh, I'm not sure I like Donald Trump. Oh, I think Hillary did lie. Does God get worked up and worried about that stuff? Of course not. And while sometimes God will allow sinful leadership to reign over a nation or a church as judgment, when God says enough, it's enough. Things don't happen outside of God's control. For while the people of Ezekiel's day were far from perfect, yes, they've sinned, they worshiped other gods, they clearly chosen to disobey God and turn to idols, God demonstrates love and mercy and forgiveness and compassion on his people. And I'm here to tell you some good news today. That is the same God that we serve today. That God wants to give us compassion and mercy and love. And as I read through the promises that God makes to the Jews through Ezekiel, I want you to know that these promises also apply to you today. And as I read to you these promises of God to the people, listen to how many times God says, I personally will do this work. The people that I've called to be the leaders aren't doing it, so I personally am going to do it for you. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16, I've already read it, but listen for how God personally says, this is what I will do. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. And as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own lands. I will pasture them. It means he's going to feed them. On the mountains of Israel and the ravines and in all the settlements in the land, I will tend to them in a good pasture. Are you getting the point? I could read on and on, but the point is this. God says, I have called leaders to lead you both politically and religiously, and they're not doing it. So I will step up. I will do it. I will lead you. I will protect you. I will provide for you. God's people had been abandoned by the leaders who were called to serve and protect them. And yet here's a truth that applies to us today just as it did then. When man fails, God is faithful. And in just a few more verses in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 23 and 24, we see God fulfilling a promise of protection and provision by giving to the Jews and all other believers a physical manifestation of what that shepherd was to be. Verses 23 and 24 says this, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them, and he will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, again, I've shared with you how God uses metaphors, right? And the sheep are basically us, right? And the shepherds were the religious and the political leaders. Now David, if you know anything about the chronology of the Bible, had already come onto the scene and died, right? David was not coming again in a person of King David, the son of Jesse, right? Because about 400 years has already passed after David already died. So God is using another metaphor when he says that he's going to send his servant David. Now, who came from David's line that is the good shepherd? Anyone? Jesus, right? This is so cool, right? When you just do a little bit of work and you dig into this crazy book of Ezekiel, right? And you see this wonderful promise that God says, I'm going to send my servant David, which is a metaphor for the Messiah, right? It means the one that God was going to send to make everything right. It means that God was going to come in the flesh from the line of David and deliver his people and shepherd his people and in a very real way provide and protect for his people. This shepherd would literally lay down his life to protect his sheep from the ravenous wolves around us. And that shepherd is Jesus. And in John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, these are Jesus' own words. He said, I am the good shepherd. Wow, he's linking what he's saying here in John all the way back to Ezekiel. This is so cool. The Bible's not a bunch of crazy books that make no sense, but it's one unified book made of these different little mini books that all come together. And Jesus says this, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. You may feel alone right now in this world. You may feel abandoned by people around you, by your leadership. But Jesus says, I know you. And you know me. And just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, here it is, I lay down my life for the sheep. We can't ask anyone to do anything more than to sacrifice all that they are. Where Jesus literally lays down his life. When we, by faith, place our trust And the good shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, he promises us that he's going to protect us and he's going to provide for us. And this is found so true in Jesus, because when he laid down his life, he protected us from God's wrath because of our sins. God must judge us. And if we reject Jesus Christ, we will stand before God, and all of God's wrath against us and our sins will be poured out on us, and we will stand guilty, and God will condemn us into hell. But Jesus says, when you place faith in me, I protect you from God's wrath. Because we are imputed with Christ's grace. His mercy and forgiveness are given us. Our sins are cleansed. We are given new hearts. And as a result of all of that, it protects us from God. And then Jesus doesn't stop there. He provides for us as a good shepherd does. He ministers to our needs every day. But ultimately, he provides for us that even though, yes, we will die, that death as a Christian, as someone trusting in Jesus Christ, is but a door to enter into paradise with Christ. Because he has gone ahead of us and prepared a place for us to have eternal rest with him. Not only does Jesus as our good shepherd protect us, but he provides for us. So in closing, these next few months, these next couple years, there's going to be a lot of political upheaval. We don't know what the political landscape is. We don't know what the future of our church is, or the AFLC, or we as Christians as a whole here in America. There's going to be people that will disappoint us. There's going to be people that will promise one thing and not deliver on the other. But we don't need to fret, because we have a good shepherd, the best shepherd, that even though we as humans will continue to disappoint, Jesus says, I will never disappoint you, because Christ has stepped up to provide and for our protection. And through that, we can have peace and comfort. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is a fearful thing to fall into your hands without our sins being covered. And Lord, if there is anyone here right now that is yet to fully place their trust in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord, Father, we pray that right now you would move in their hearts and in their minds, convict them of their sins. Help them to place their faith in Jesus Christ alone. And Lord, for those of us that have placed our faith in your Son, Jesus, as our Lord, Lord, there is going to be an awful lot of disappointment that we're going to experience. There's going to be a lot of politicians that will make empty promises. And unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of people in church and the leadership, both in the lay leaders and in the clergy, that will make promises and disappoint us. And yet, Father, we don't follow humans. We follow you. Continue to strengthen our faith in you. Continue to help us to understand that you, Jesus Christ, are the good shepherd, and that you will never disappoint us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.